except to grab all the kicks we can.
CITR 101.9
Vancouver. It makes you feel real big.
Stewie, hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ. Yeah, that hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah.
This public service announcement is a thank you to all you listeners who donated during CITR's first fund drive. You've helped us continue to keep delivering you, the listener, with the diverse, independent, and quality programming you've come to expect. This is also a reminder that if you did pledge, please come down to CITR, pay your pledge, and collect your swag. For example, t-shirts, CDs, and all other merchandise that was offered with your pledge. Once again, to all of our listeners, all our supporters, thank you for supporting CITR 101.9 FM.
You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
This is beautiful downtown Burbank.
Well, Max, headquarters. Headquarters. Chaos.
An audio magazine to be read with the ear.
Thursday nights at 11.
My sword decides. So I removed the other eye.
Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy.
A cheerful change from the humdrum morning fare.
We didn't come from monkeys, you atheistic pinko meathead.
Oh, Mr. President, hey, oh, hey.
Thank you, Mr. Bale.
Every Thursday night on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
I'm beginning to feel like a nut.
That's small.
I think just about everyone is familiar with stories about dead people or animals that continued moving after they died.
CITR's Exquisite Corpse moves to Thursday night with your host, DJ Lee.
You see, we move our muscles as a result of an electrochemical reaction in our nerves.
Tonight, we can be as one. Tonight.
Usually, though, the resulting movement is just a twitch.
101.9 Vancouver.
Wild geese that fly with their wings tied up with strings.
I don't know, Don. I think I was more comfortable with the twitching when I thought I was just imagining it.
Exquisite Corpse with your host, DJ Blee. Now 7:30 to 9 p.m. Thursdays. Still putting the mental in experimental.
Well, it could be worse.
Yes, it's Exquisite Corpse Radio on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. It's Black History Month on this radio station, and hopefully all today you've been hearing some productions of celebrating Black history. It's odd following Afrobeat with No Ebony in the studio on this particular day, which that's a bit of a bummer, but she's down in L.A. still, hopefully having a good time. Wish her well and hope she gets back safe. So for today, you know, I forgot my opening tracks, you know, my opening theme music. So what the hell? Let's just move on, shall we? I have got I've collected a sampling of what you would call sort of the cutting edge African American and Black music, basically, from way back in I think a lot of this goes back from the 50s up until current days. We have a lot of the avant jazz for you today. We're going to be listening to tracks by Miles Davis and John Coltrane, Charles Mingus, Thelonious Monk, Anthony Braxton, Pharoah Sanders, Sun Ra. We'll have the Art Ensemble of Chicago with Cecil Taylor and Thelonious Monk, and also even some Herbie Hancock. Then we'll be moving into some of the social political aspects of the Black scene with Rich Medina. We got Benjamin Zephaniah, and Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, and Gil Scott-Heron, of course. That's coming up in this edition of Exquisite Corpse Radio, Canada's favorite radio show. So to start off with here, Miles Davis was born on May 26, 1926, Alton, Illinois. And he died September 28th, 1991, in Santa Monica, California. A U.S. trumpeter and band leader, Davis grew up in East St. Louis, Missouri, and began study at the Juilliard School in New York City in 1944. He worked with Charlie Parker in 1946 and 1948. Davis was one of the most original and influential jazz musicians. Davis was the son of a dental surgeon, Dr. Miles Dewey Davis, and a music teacher, Cleota May Davis, and thus grew up in the black middle class of East St. Louis after the family moved there shortly after his birth. He became interested in music during his childhood and by the age of 12 began taking trumpet lessons. While still in high school, he started to get jobs playing in local bars and at 16 was playing gigs out of town on weekends. At 17, he joined Eddie Randall's Blue Devils, a territory band based in St. Louis. He enjoyed a apotheosis in 1944, just after graduating from high school, when he saw and was allowed to sit in with Billy Eckstein's big band, who was playing in St. Louis. The band featured trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie and saxophonist Charlie Parker, the architects of the emerging bebop style of jazz, which was characterized by fast, inventive soloing and dynamic rhythm variations. The trumpeter's progress was impeded by an addiction to heroin that plagued him into up till the early 50s. His performances and recordings became more haphazard, but in January 1951, he began a long series of recordings for the Prestige label that became his main recording outlet for the next several years. He managed to kick his habit by the middle of the decade, and he made a strong impression playing Round Midnight at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1955, a performance that led the major label Columbia Records to sign him. Here's the first track we're going to hear from Miles Davis now. The track is called, oddly enough, John McLaughlin, here on Exquisite Corpse Radio. Thank you. some Miles Davis for you there, and John McLaughlin from Bitches Brew 2. And for now, we have John Coltrane, and we'll get to that after a minute. Was after Charlie Parker the most revolutionary and widely imitated saxophonist in jazz? Coltrane grew up in High Point, North Carolina, where he learned to play E-flat alto horn, clarinet, and about age 15, alto saxophone. After moving to Philadelphia, he enrolled at the Ornstein School of Music and the Granoff Studios. In the Granoff Studios. Service in the Navy Band in Hawaii, 1945 to 46, interrupted these studies. He played alto saxophone in the bands led by Joe Webb and King Kolax, then changed to the tenor to work with Eddie Cleanhead Vinson from 47 to 48. He performed on either instrument and, as circumstances demanded, while in groups led by Jimmy Heath, Howard McGee, Dizzy Gillespie, with whom he made his first recording in 49, Earl Bostick, and lesser-known rhythm and blues musicians. By the time of his membership in Johnny Hodges' septet in 1953 to 54, he was firmly committed to the tenor instrument. He performed infrequently for about a year, then leapt to fame in Miles Davis Quintet with Red Garland, Paul Chambers, and Philly Joe Jones from 55 to 57. Coltrane turned to increasingly radical musical styles in the mid-1960s. These controversial experiments attracted large audiences, and by 1965, he was surprisingly affluent. From autumn 65, his search for new sounds resulted in frequent changes of personnel in his group. New members, including Pharoah Sanders, Alice Coltrane, his wife, and Rashid Ali, a second drummer until Jones' departure, several drummers as seconds to Ali, and a number of African-influenced percussionists. In his final years and after his death, Coltrane acquired an almost saintly reputation among listeners and fellow musicians for his energetic and selfless support of young avant-garde performers. His passionate religious convictions, his peaceful demeanor, and his obvious striving for a musical ideal. He died at the age of 40 of a liver ailment. A videotape tracing his development, The Coltrane Legacy, produced by David Chertok and Burl Cron, was issued in 1987. So we'll move on to Coltrane right now, and this track is called Giant Steps here on Exquisite Corpse Radio. We'll be right back. John Coltrane and Giant Steps. This is Exquisite Corpse Radio. It's Black History Month. We're focusing on avant-garde artists of history, I guess. The jazz scene in particular. Charles Mingus up next, one of the most important figures in 20th century American music. Mingus was a virtuoso bass player, accomplished pianist, bandleader, and composer, born on a military base in Nogales, Arizona, in 1922, and raised in Watts, California. His earliest musical influences came from the church, choir, and group singing, and from hearing Duke Ellington on the radio when he was 8 years old. He studied double bass and composition in a formal way, 5 years with H. Reinshagen, principal bassist of New York Philharmonica, and compositional techniques with the legendary Lloyd Reese, while absorbing vernacular music from the great jazz masters firsthand. His early professional experience in the 40s found him touring with bands like Louis Armstrong, Kid Ory, and Lionel Hampton. Mingus soon found himself at the forefront of avant-garde. His recordings bear witness to the extraordinarily creative body of work that followed. They include Pithecanthropus Erectus, The Clown, Tijuana Moods, Mingus Dynasty, Mingus The Black Saint and the Sinner Lady, Columbia and Jazz Fusion, Let My Children Hear Music, and he recorded over 100 albums and wrote over 300 scores. From the 60s until his death in 1979 at age 56, Mingus remained in the forefront of American music. And when asked to comment on his accomplishments, Mingus said that his abilities as a bassist were the result of hard work, but that his talent for composition came from God. Charles Mingus, now, Thrice Upon a Theme. That's the ITR. Thank you.
CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
And we're back at Exquisite Corpse Radio. It's about a minute to 8 o'clock here. We've got a bunch of other things to get to this evening. It's Black History Month. We're going through the groundbreaking artists in the jazz field and the avant jazz field. Amazing artworks here by the geniuses of their time and probably of all time, and we're going to be hearing more. We've got Anthony Braxton coming up with Pharoah Sanders, Sun Ra, Art Ensemble of Chicago's in here as well, and more. For right now, let's tell you about Thelonious Monk. He was a jazz pianist and composer, known for his unique improvisational style and many contributions to the standard jazz repertoire. While Monk is often regarded as a founder of bebop, his playing style evolved away from the form. Little is known about his early life. He was born in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. Rocky Mount, I guess. And family moved to New York shortly thereafter. He made his first recordings as a leader in 1947 and cut the debut LP Genius of Modern Music, Volume 1, which showcased Monk's talents as a composer of original melodies for improvisation. Monk married Nellie Smith the same year, and in 1949 the couple had a son, T.S. Monk, who later became a jazz drummer, and daughter Barbara was born in 1953. Monk's stated influences include Duke Ellington, James P. Johnson, and other early stride pianists. In 64, he appeared on the cover of Time magazine, but now he was signed to a major label, Columbia Records, and was promoted more widely than earlier in his career. Monk also had a regular working group, featuring the tenor saxophonist Charlie Roos, but by now his work as composer was quite limited. He disappeared from the scene in early 1970 and made only a small number of appearances during the final decade of his life, and his last recording was completed in November 1971. Monk's manner was idiosyncratic, even for a jazz musician. He would seldom speak, he would wear odd clothes and hats, and had an unusual percussive manner in playing piano. At times, he would stop playing, leave the piano, and dance while the other musicians in the combo played. He died in 1982 and was interred in Ferncliff Cemetery in Hartsdale, New York. Following his death, his music has been rediscovered by a wider audience, and he is now counted alongside the likes of Miles Davis and John Coltrane and others as a major figure in the history of jazz. This is Thelonious Monk with Brilliant Corners, Exquisite Corpse. We'll be right back. Exquisite Corpse Radio here on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. This is DJ Bleakin with you. Yeah, and we are going over pioneers in the jazz era and Black History Month. So, just hearing from Thelonious Monk there, Brilliant Corners. Anthony Braxton is coming up next on our show. And let me see, where have I got the Anthony Braxton stuff? Okay, he was born in 1945, is an American composer, player of multiple reed instruments, and pianist. Critic Chris Kelsey wrote that Anthony Braxton exhibited a genuine, if highly idiosyncratic, ability to play older forms, influenced especially by saxophonists Wayne Marsh, John Coltrane, Paul Desmond, and Eric Dolphy. He was never really accepted by the jazz establishment due to his manifest infatuation with the practices of such non-jazz artists as John Cage and Karlheinz Stockhausen. Many of the mainstream's most popular musicians, Wynton Marsalis among them, insisted that Braxton's music was not jazz at all. Whatever one calls it, however, there is no questioning the originality of his vision. Anthony Braxton created music of enormous sophistication and passion that it was unlike anything else that had come before it. Anthony Braxton. Now on Exquisite Corpse Radio, composition number 88.
Thank you.
Thelonious Monk for you, actually. What did I say? Anthony Braxton, actually. This is Exquisite Corpse Radio on CITR, and we're going through sounds of avant-garde jazz composers and whatnot. And we've got Pharoah Sanders coming up next. Pharoah Sanders, originally Pharoah Sanders from Little Rock, Arkansas, became well known in the local jazz scene in Oakland, California in the early 1960s. In the middle of the decade, he moved to New York, where he worked with Sun Ra and other luminaries of the new jazz avant-garde. He was asked by John Coltrane to join his group in 1965 and so became a part of Coltrane's most experimental unit. After Coltrane's death in 67, he continued in musical collaboration with Coltrane's second wife, Alice. Sanders is known for a distinctive sound, including a split reed technique. While primarily playing the tenor sax, he was also recorded playing the soprano sax, flutes, and percussion. He can coax unearthly sounds from the tenor saxophone and, according to jazz legend, can cause the saxophone to continue to shriek for minutes after removing it from his mouth. Wow. Through the 1970s, he explored the melding of West and South African rhythms into free jazz, experimenting with layers of percussion and voices. By the late 70s, he began, like many jazz musicians, to coat his spirituality-tinged jazz with a glossy pop-funk sheen. In his case, produced by drummer Norman Connors. And in the 1980s, he changed course to play the standards. In 1996, he returned to his Nubian space jazz with a message from home. He has also recently recorded albums in collaboration with African Gnawa musicians and in tribute to his mentor, John Coltrane. So moving on now to Pharoah Sanders. Coming up next, though, Sun Ra, right after Pharoah. This, though, is Pharoah with a greeting to Saud, right here on Exquisite Corpse Radio. Pharaoh Sanders, right here, don't you know? Sun Ra, a.k.a. Herman Sonny Blount, was born on May 22, 1914 in Birmingham, Alabama, although one of his many eccentricities was the claim that he was born on the planet Saturn. Sun Ra's earliest music work was a pianist, arranger, and composer with Fess Wheatley and Oliver Bibb in the Chicago area in the mid-30s. In 1946, he began working at Chicago's Club Delisa, playing for artists such as Joe Williams and Laverne Baker, and writing arrangements for Fletcher Henderson. Sun Ra worked with bass player Eugene Wright's Dukes of Swing and also played with Coleman Hawkins and Stuff Smith in 1948. In the early 50s, Sun Ra began to lead his own small groups, and by 1953 he had formed a 10-piece big band, The Orchestra. They recorded their debut, Sun Song, in 1956. And during the late 50s, Sun Ra began his own label, Saturn Records, which released most of his 100 albums. Many have since been reissued on CD by other labels. The Orchestra originally played a variation of bebop, and by the early 60s, they began using unusual instrumentation and arrangements for the time. At times, they used two basses, as well as electric bass, electronic keyboards, varied percussion and polyrhythms, and solo and group free improvisations. The band also wore costumes, usually inspired by ancient Egypt or outer space, and their concerts included light shows, dance, and mime. In the 70s, Sun Ra stage show and recordings branched out further with the inclusion of big band numbers, jazz funk, and freeform synthesizer solos. And during the 80s, Sun Ra made some smaller group as well as solo piano recordings. The Orchestra also occasionally included entire sets of Disney songs in the late 80s, inspired by their contribution to the Disney tribute album, Stay Awake. In 1990, Sun Ra suffered a stroke, which left him with impaired movement, though the Orchestra continued to play occasional concerts until Sun Ra's death in 1993. Sun Ra, for us now on Exquisite Corpse Radio, and Sea of Sounds from Space is the Place. Sun Ra, the man from Saturn, their Sea of Sounds. And we're running out of time for all the things I needed to do tonight. Moving on to Herbie Hancock, let me tell you first, he'll always be one of the most revered and controversial figures in jazz, just as his employer mentor Miles Davis was when he was alive. Unlike Miles, who pressed ahead relentlessly and never looked back until near the very end, Hancock has cut a zigzagging forward path, shuttling between almost every development in electronic and acoustic jazz and R&B over the last third of the 20th century. Though grounded in Bill Evans and able to absorb blues, funk, gospel, and even modern classical influences, Hancock's piano and keyboard voices are entirely his own. And with their own urbane, harmonic, and complex, earthy, rhythmic signatures, and young pianists cop his licks constantly. Having studied engineering and professing to love gadgets and buttons, Hancock was perfectly suited for the electronic age. Where was I? He was one of the earliest champions of the Rhodes Electric Piano and Hohner Clavinet, and would field an ever-growing collection of synthesizers and computers on his electric dates. Yet his love for the grand piano never waned, and despite his peripatetic... Oh, my God. I better quit. Activities all around the musical map, his piano style continues to evolve into tougher, even more complex forms. He is as much at home trading riffs with smoking funk band as he is with communing in a world-class post bop rhythm section, and that drives purists on both sides of the fence up the wall. So Herbie Hancock for you now with Training Day on Exquisite Corpse.
The ignition by remote control.
Always use those materials which are easily accessible to any citizen of the country in which you are operating. Okay.
And from a soundtrack, Spook Who Sat by the Door, Herbie Hancock, A Training Day. What an amazing album that is. Well, on to the segment of the show where I wanted to present the power of words, the genius of the poet, and the people around surrounding the rap field, but not quite part of that hip-hop field you see so much of on the music, television, and radio. People who are have powerful words and have powerful writings. Rich Medina is one of them. This is Rich Medina with Wait.
Right here in my pocket, I carry the weight of the world. And on my back, I wear a target for hatred, and a land that I've heard is not truly my own. In my mind, I would love to reach out and make contact with understanding on the line, but my phone, it's been ringing for 30 some odd years, and I still can't get in touch with myself. I got fast food crawling through my system, constipating my money. I got questions racing across my mind, and every once in a while a crash course answer will come along and hospitalize my culture. They keep telling me to slow down. Told me I was moving just a bit too fast. Good. good reason to put on the brakes, but I can see the Republicans over there setting up for a drive-by in a German-made sports car with the remains of Social Security in the trunk. And they come out firing at black backs to lighten the night. You know, I can't run because my arm is just a bit too shiny. I can't run because the weight of the world pressed up against my ass is heavy. And I ain't no punk. If you ain't careful, I just might bust a cap in your mind. It'll stab your hesitation with a blade made of glorious activity. You don't seem to see my target. Do me a favor and read the cleaning instructions on your dashiki for a crash course in Japanese intelligence and pro-black convenience store stupidity. Kente cloth don't grow on no assembly lines. They keep telling me to slow down. We live in a world full of color, full of gods, all omnipotent in their own right, but confusedly concentrating on the Middle East. My leaders, well, they're divided in conquering each other's weaknesses, and our dam is still leaking. Fast, but I gotta wait online for it. Recently got my hands on a new book called The Black Man's Guide to the Information Superhighway. Didn't realize it was 666 pages long when I picked it up. The good Lord, his or herself, stood over me in their eternal light and said to me, son, you need to look back behind you from whence you came. Because if you do, you'll see two sets of footprints, aside from the times when you were weak. For it is then that I was carrying you. Understand that a man who seldom stops to rest must observe his surroundings when he does so choose to recline. For it is only then that he'll realize that all his problems are actually beneath him. He's sitting on top of the world.
And burns, and I have just learned I have been listening to the wrong radio station. My mind has been brutalized. No, the pain can't be disguised. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I was beginning to believe that all black men were bad men and white men would reign again. I was beginning to believe that I was a mindless drugs freak that couldn't control my sanity or my sexuality. I was beginning to believe that I couldn't believe in nothing except nothing, and all I ever wanted to do was get you and do you. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. Been blighted. I am so short-sighted. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I was beginning to not trust me. In fact, I wanted to arrest me. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I've been dancing to music that I can't stand. I've been reciting commercials to my girlfriends. I've been trying to convince myself that what I really need is a sunbed and a mortgage and some hairspray, the kind of hairspray that will wash my gray blues away. I've been trying to convince myself that I shouldn't care about anyone else but myself. I've been trying to convince myself that I could ease my conscience if I gave a few pence or a few cents to a starving baby in Africa. Because African babies need me so. Because African babies need my favors. Because Africa is full of dictators and, oh yeah, globalization will bring salvation. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. Yeah. I fought my neighbors from the axis of evil. I wanna go kill people. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. Hey, I was sure I didn't inhale, so why is my mind going stale? I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I was beginning to believe that all Muslims are terrorists and Christian terrorists didn't exist. I really did believe that terrorism couldn't be done by governments, not our governments, not white governments. I just could not see what was wrong with me. I gave hungry people hamburgers, you see. I was beginning to believe that our children were better than their children. Their children were dying from terrorism, but I couldn't hear their children call. And a child from Palestine simply didn't count at all. What despair! No children, I was not aware. I have been listening to the wrong radio station. For years I've been sedated. Now I think I'm educated. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. And every time I got ill, I took the same little white pill. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. When it started, I was curious, but then it got so serious. It was cool when it began, but now I really hate Iran. Look at me now, I wanna make friends with Pakistan, I wanna bomb Afghanistan, and I need someone to tell me, where the hell is Kurdistan? Yeah, you can be my ally for a while, until I come to bomb your child, and I'm sure there's a continent called the Middle East, and I think I can bomb my way to peace. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I've been listening to the wrong jams. I've been listening to the wrong beats. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I've been listening to the wrong tones from the wrong zones. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I've been listening to the wrong voices. I've made the mad choices. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I've been listening to lies. I've been listening to spies. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I needed to know what some pop star somewhere was having for breakfast. I needed to know that I was no longer working class. I needed to know if the stock market rose 1%. I needed to know that I had a ruler to give me confidence. I needed to know that my life would improve loads if
I had an operation on my nose. I needed to hear that DJ say, I felt that he was there just for me. I loved the way that he would say, this show was sponsored by, oh my, oh my. He made me cry. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. Can you dig this? I put myself on a hit list. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I used to take myself for granted. Now I believe I'm wanted. I'm laughing and I'm crying and I'm watching myself die. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. Listen to it. Can you hear? Listen to me. Keep this frequency clear!
The Social Political Power of Words from Benjamin Zephaniah there. Wrong radio station. And who can forget Gil Scott-Heron?
Brother, you will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Well, on a brighter note,
commercial break.
The government has now banned the carrying of spears.
Stop about every 1,000 miles, ain't asking too much, is it?
You might wish to stay on and listen.
It was a place where everything was
legal. It's been Exquisite Corpse Radio, Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, ending us off here with Television, the Drug of the Nation. Thanks for coming. Stay tuned for more broadcasting. Black History Month on CITR.
My pleasure.
One nation under God has turned into one nation under the influence of one drug. Television, the drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. TV, its satellite links are United States of unconsciousness. Apathetic, therapeutic, and extremely addictive. The methadone metronome, pumping out 150 channels 24 hours a day. You can flip through all of them, and still there's nothing worth watching. TV is the reason why less than 10% of our nation reads books daily. Why most people think Central America means Kansas. Socialism means un-American, and apartheid is a new headache remedy. Absorbed in this world, it's so hard to find us. It shapes our minds the most. Maybe the mother of our nation should remind us that we're sitting too close to the television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. TV is a stomping ground for political candidates. Where bears in the woods are chased by Grecian formulated bald eagles. TV is mechanized politics, remote control over the masses. Co-sponsored by environmentally safe gases. Watch for the PBS special. It's a perpetuation of the two-party system. Where image takes precedence over wisdom. Where soundbite politics are served to the fast food culture. Where straight teeth in your mouth are more important than the words that come out of it. Race baiting is the way to get selected. Will he Horton or will he not get elected on television? The drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
On the screen is an address where you can mail your tithe offering or gift of love.
Okay, got the idea? All right, how much time is
it? We're living through television. TV. Is it the reflector or the director? Does it imitate us or do we imitate it? Because a child watches 1,500 murders before he's 12 years old. And then we wonder why we've created a Jason generation that learns to laugh rather than abhor the whore. TV is a place where armchair generals and quarterbacks can experience firsthand the excitement of video warfare as the theme song is sung in the background. Sugar sweet sitcoms that leave us with a bad actor taste, while pop stars metamorphosize into soda pop stars. You saw the video, you heard the soundtrack. Well, now go buy the soft drink. Well, the only cola that I support would be a union COLA cost of living allowance on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. Back again, new and improved, we return to our irregularly programmed schedule, hidden cleverly between heavy-breasted beer and car commercials. CNN, ESPN, ABC, BCB, TNT, but mostly BS, where oxymoronic language, like virtually spotless, fresh, frozen, light, yet filling, and military intelligence have become standard. TV is a place where phrases are redefined, like recession to necessary downturn, crude oil on a beach to moose, civilian death to collateral damages, and being killed by your own army is now